Appreciate you being here this morning. I want you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Psalm 119. I want to welcome our visitors today, each one of you that are visiting with us. Thank you so much for coming our way here at Bible Way. We're honored to have you. We really are. I tell people when I'm visiting and fellowshipping all the time, we'll treat you so many ways you'll have to like one of them. Amen. We hope you enjoy the service, and I pray that you'll come back each and every time that you can. Psalm chapter 119, where I'd like to begin reading this morning, is in verse number 81. Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 81. David said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud," I got to back up. Verse number 84, "When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" I just was reminded by the Holy Spirit in the generation that we live in, how that Christianity is being persecuted around the world. Even in our own nation, we're making room for this ism and that ism, while we're squeezing out the word of the living God and the people of God. But I want you to know, God one day will execute judgment. I'm glad I'm on the right side of Calvary. I'm glad I've been forgiven. I'm glad that my sins were judged at the cross. In verse 85, "The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." If correctly read, that's verse 81 down through verse 88 in Psalm 119. Please pray with me a moment. Father, how we need you every hour, but Lord, especially in this hour. There's so much at stake, our Lord. Lord, I believe that there are people, Lord, that need you. God, I pray that, Lord, as we preach, that the Holy Spirit would deal with hearts. God, I pray that you would encourage the saints of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would follow you day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until finally, Lord, when that day comes when you will say it's enough, come up hither. I pray, Lord, that we would serve you with gladness. Lord, I pray that you would save the lost, strengthen your children. Thank you, God, for each one that's come this way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll try not to be too long this morning, but I'm interested in a phrase found in verse number 83. Don't know that I've ever looked at it before. I know that I have read it several times, but it jumped out at me off the page, and I began to study about it and look into it, and I want to share it with you today. The Bible said, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." I want to preach this morning for a little while on the subject like a bottle in the smoke. The psalmist David is troubled. He's heavy-hearted. He says in a verse or two after this over here in the Bible, actually I believe it's prior to this, it is. In the 60-some verse there, he said, "It was good for me to be afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." I thought about this, and at first I wasn't right. That's why we ought to study the Bible. Sometimes if we'll study the Bible, we'll find out we're not right. In today's society, when you say a bottle, normally it's glass or it's plastic, like I have here. But I looked it up and began to study about it, and in the Bible days, that bottle was a leather skin, and it was used for containing wine. And when it was emptied, it was hung up in the tent. And in those days, as people traveled, David's not in the palace here. David's hiding. David's wandering. He's traveling. In those days, they didn't have a chimney in the tent. They built a fire in there, and there was smoke in the tent. They would leave a hole in the top of the tent, and the smoke would go up through that. But still, not nearly as effective as a chimney is today when we build a fire. The place would reek sometimes with smoke, and the skins, or these bottles, would grow black and sooty, and in the heat they became very wrinkled and worn. Many times you would have to declare that bottle to be absolutely useless. It was good for nothing because of the atmosphere that it was hanging in. And David here, as he cries out from the bottom of his heart, he said, "I was like a bottle in the smoke." And I want to dwell on that for a little while this morning. There's several things I want to bring out, but by way of, excuse me, my voice is giving me a fit. Get a drink of water here. He will, Brother Ralph. You keep praying. He'll help me. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I thought about, as I prepared to preach and studied this out, I thought about, I don't know how many times, but I would say at least twice, if not several times, my wife has a lot better memory than I, that we heated with a wood stove. We heated our house with a wood stove. Years ago, I was involved in building mining equipment, and we were allowed, with the permission of the company, to take the scraps of the metal that we had left over and build wood stoves out of them or whatever we wanted to. One of the fellas that was in the business of doing that had someone to call his house. And his little boy answered the phone. And on the other end of the line, a man said, "Son, does your daddy build wood stoves?" And the little boy said, "No, sir, he make them out of metal." Have you ever been around a wood stove? Amen. I'm talking about the one made out of metal that you build a fire in. Amen. Well, we used to heat extensively with wood in a wood stove. And there have been several times, and I think there's great application here, when my wife and I have left our home and came home to a house full of smoke. Has anybody ever experienced that besides me? It's very unpleasant. All the bed linens have to be washed. All the curtains have to be took down and washed. All the carpets have to be cleaned. I'm telling you, if it's got fabric in it, it's got the smell of smoke in it. Amen. Fabric is just like a sponge. It just soaks up the smell of smoke. And I thought about
David and his life and the message today like a bottle in the smoke. And I thought about what caused that condition. There were just several things that I wrote down. I'm just trying to introduce, and I'll get right into the message. Number one, the fire was choked down too much. The fire was just choked down too much. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, in our application, we had a damper in the pipe above the stove. And if you choked it down too much, it couldn't breathe. I'm just going to tell you, there are times when God's people have so much going on in their life that they're choked down too much. They just can't breathe well. Amen. And so things begin to get smoky. I thought about this. Not only sometimes do you choke it down too much, but you choke it down too quick. What do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean that, you know, the fire's died down, but you got somewhere to go. And you throw some logs in there and you open the damper for 30 seconds so it can catch up a little bit. But it needs more than 30 seconds to get going good. And you choke it down too quick. I want you to know there's a lot of people that's been saved by the grace of God. And the devil is in the business of choking people down. Amen. Very quick like. That there might not be a fire, but there might be all kinds of smoke. Amen. I thought about this. Green wood. The wrong kind of fuel will cause the chimney to creosote up. And then you've got two problems. You've got the wrong fuel and you've got a chimney that's blocked up. You say, preacher, I don't know where this is going. Well, if you'll buckle your seatbelt and hang on, you'll find out in a few minutes. There's something going on in this psalm. David said, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. Now, I'm going to give you something this morning. Everybody look at me and listen right here. Listen carefully. Every time, Miss Eve, I thought about in my mind this morning, every time that that ever happened, I'm telling you several times when it happened, I was a child of God. I knew the Lord as my Savior. But when I got home and opened the door and smoke was everywhere, I was absolutely disgusted. I was absolutely disheartened. So the first thing you want to do is say, Eve, it couldn't have been me, Brother Grizzle, that fixed the stove before we left. It had to be her. If the house, the first thing you want to do in a smoky condition is blame somebody else. And then she'd look at me and say, I didn't touch the stove. And my memory's not really good at that time. Say amen. But listen, here, listen to me carefully right here. Listen, I thought about this morning. I believe if a man is walking with God, he could open the door and the house be full of smoke, knowing that everything has to be cleaned, everything has to be washed. We've made a mistake in either choking it down or letting the chimney. But I believe if a man was walking just right with God, Brother Kurt, he could say, thank God the house is not on fire. Thank God it's not in ashes. It's better to deal with the smoke than the destruction of the fire. Sometimes I believe David is in a place right here, a low place in his life, a low ebb in his life. And David, listen, it's times like that. It's hard. It's difficult. But the Word of God said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Beloved, sometimes we're like a bottle in the smoke. What the enemy wants to do is convince us that we're useless. We're cracked. We can't hold any more wine. Wine in the Scripture many times is a type of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Oh, he's sweet. Amen. Listen, I'm not talking about the stuff that makes you drunk. The Word of God said you ain't even supposed to look at it when it's fermented. Say amen. I'm talking about the sweet juice, amen, that God gives from the fruit of the earth. Amen. Listen to me. There's several things going on here. One more thing quickly. I'm trying to get through the introduction. My wife said I never did preach a long message, but the introductions and the closings are killing us. Amen. Listen, one more thing. It never happened, Brother Rose, while the fire was attended. It always happened when it was unattended. Brother, if we're there and the fire's attended and you smell a little smoke, you make the necessary adjustments quickly. Say amen. Before the whole house. And I tell you, God wants us to understand this morning. Listen, sometimes you say, preacher, why do you have an altar call? Why does the choir sing? Why do we have Sunday school? Why do we preach? I tell you, there's adjustments that need to be made at times in our lives. Amen. Before the smoke is so bad that we're like a bottle in the smoke. There's several things I want you to see right here. Quickly, this won't take long. Number one, his soul is fainting. Down on the inside, God, David said here, he said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. Now you might say, preacher, what do you think's going on here? Well, I don't believe that we're talking about a lost man. Listen to me carefully. I've weighed this out heavily and asked the Lord to help me understand. Listen to me, David is at a low ebb, and I believe with all of my heart, God's children never long for heaven at any time like they do when they're at a low ebb in their life. The enemy's out there, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment, but I believe this salvation that David is longing for, it's not being saved by the grace of God and being delivered from his sin, but I believe it was being delivered from this whole mess that we call the planet Earth. Amen. He couldn't wait to be in the presence of God where sin would be no more, where there'd be no more pit, where there'd be no more enemy, where there'd be no more sin to deal with in his life. He was longing for that salvation. He said, my soul longs for your salvation. It faints for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see, someone said it like this. We have been saved from our past sin. We are being saved from our present sin. But thank God there's a day out there for the child of God when we will be saved from the very presence of sin. I've read about a place called heaven, a new Jerusalem, a new city, a new, my friend, heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And sin will not enter into that place. God is showing us here a man like a bottle in the smoke. His soul is fainting. David said in another place in Psalm 17, he said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You know what the Christian life is about? It's about now trying to be as much like him as we possibly can. But thank God at the end of that road, at the end of that road, exactly like him. The Bible said we don't know what we're going to be, but we know, thank God, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. David is fainting for that day, longing for that day. I'll guarantee you over at Holston Valley Hospital last night, there are people in Wilcox Hall on the third floor. Their loved ones' bodies are shriveling up and shriveling away. I'll guarantee you they thought the daylight would never come this morning. How many knows what I'm talking about? Those nights get so long. I tell you, that night in David's life, like a smoke, like a bottle in the smoke, the night had gotten so long. He just couldn't wait. Hallelujah. That old song said, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. He couldn't wait for the coming of the Lord. Some golden daybreak. Battles are won. We'll shout the victory. Break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Oh, beloved, he's a child of God, but his soul is fainting. Secondly, his eyes are failing. Look in verse number 82. He said, mine eyes fail for thy word. What do you mean, preacher? Well, he's looked at it, and he's looked at it, and he's looked at it, and he's looked at it. Till it's just like, I don't know if you've ever done this before, But I've sat in front of a computer screen so long typing and reading that when I got up, everything else was out of focus. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? Part of that's age. Part of that's eyes that are older than they used to be and not as sharp as they used to be. But part of it's just focusing on something that's at one distance. David was focusing on the Word of God to the point he knew that was his only hope. He knew that was his only help. He had to stay with the book if he was going to make it through this time in his life. But he comes to a place, he said, my eye fail. They fail for the Word of God. Then he said, when wilt thou comfort me? I'll deal with that in a little while. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. In that first part there, he said, but I hope in thy word. He's saying it's bad, but it could be worse. I could be in this situation without God. I could be in this situation without God's word. Listen to me, church. I could be in this situation without God's people praying for me. Amen. It could be worse. The house could be in ashes, but instead it shows in smoke. Beloved, his soul is fainting. His eyes are failing. I remember my dad telling this story. He and mom and us youngins, I reckon we were asleep in the back of that old black station wagon. It would remind you of a hearse. The thing had a nose on it, reached from here to the organ. The hood emblem got into the next county 10 minutes before you did. Amen. Big old long car. I could have drove that thing anytime I wanted to when I was a teenager. But who in the world wants to drive a black station wagon? Amen. Listen, mom and dad took off from Baltimore down to Virginia on vacation. My aunt Dixie and my Uncle Isaac went with them. And I've heard Dad tell this story several times. It was so foggy, Brother Rose, that my Uncle Isaac would get out and read the sign with a flashlight. I've seen it foggy, but I don't think I've seen it so foggy that I had to get out and read the sign with a flashlight. This was before Interstate 81 was built. It was when you had to travel down what they call old Route 11, which means you had to come through every little town. And you get in little towns like Chilhowee or Glade Spring, and you got to make a little wiggle, so to speak, to stay on Route 11. You understand what I mean? It's not like an interstate. And Abingdon, the same way. Meadowview, the same way. And my uncle's getting out trying to read them little signs. Let me tell you something right now, if we'll admit it. It gets pretty foggy where we live sometimes too. No wonder the psalmist cried out, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm telling you, there's times, if we would admit it, we're just like David. We're like a bottle in the smoke. I tell you, we're not much to look at. We don't feel very useful. We don't feel very close to God. We don't even feel much heat from the fire. It's just everything is smoked up and our eyes fail for the Word of God. Not only is his soul fainting and his eyes are failing, number three, his enemy is fighting.